every champion has a team behind them. And for thousands of families without insurance, Christ Clinic is that team. At Christ Clinic in Katy, Texas, they provide high-quality, faith-based health care to people who can't afford it, because everyone deserves a shot at health, no matter their income or insurance status. Their doctors, volunteers, their mission, rooted in compassion, their impact, over 10,000 patient visits every year and growing. But they can't do it without help from fans like you. If you ever cheered for a comeback story, this is your chance to be a part of one. Donate today at ChristClinicKaty.org and help them keep the doors open for those who need it most. One gift can be the difference between surviving and thriving. Christ Clinic in Katy, where health meets hope and faith goes to work. That's Christ Clinic Katy, spelled KATY.org. Team up with them today.
Happy Friday, folks, and welcome to another edition of First Touch here on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. We are presented by Sports Overnet America. I'm your host, Tyler Levine, along with my co-host, Nico Beef Sauce. Nico, we did it, man. We're here. Premier League is officially underway. And I mean, I don't know if there's a better way for the season to start than what we literally just finished watching. And we'll get into all the semantics of the game, but Liverpool end up winning 4-2. It was dramatic. It was honestly, correct me if I'm wrong, everything that you would want in a Premier League game in general, let alone the opening game of the season, no?
Absolutely. Liverpool at home, first game since Diogo Jota passed. We had controversy with VAR. We had a beautiful tribute on the 20th minute. We had goals, a comeback, and an absolute mayhem when it comes to action. So, absolutely incredible.
Mo Salah officially, I believe he already had this record, but he continues it as the most prolific opening day scorer in Premier League history. Thankfully, it came with some stress, but I did take him as an anytime goal scorer, -125. He certainly took every minute of the game. He was the 94th out of 96 that took to score. But, look, Liverpool will be happy. We'll get into it, but I think they expressed some sort of vulnerability as well. But that's not it. That's not all we have on the show. We have a full weekend of games ahead of us. We have a full Saturday slate, a full Sunday slate. We are blessed with a Monday afternoon game as well. We're going to have all of those predicted for you and covered on this episode of First Touch. Transfer news is still here. There's still a lot that will be happening before the end of the window. There's some certainties. There's some stuff that's up in the air. But all of it will change the landscape of what we will witness throughout the next 38 weeks of this Premier League season, as well as all the other competitions as well. So, I mean, it's as good as it gets. This is the best Friday that we could have asked for. We finally did it. We made it. We made it through the summer. It's no longer just baseball to watch on TV. We have full weekend, baby,
yes,
of Premier League football to discuss, break down, and predict here on First Touch. So, do not move. If there is an episode this summer that you've tuned into, it should be this one. I hope you're listening to all of them, but this one is going to be very special as the 2025-2026 Premier League season has officially started. It is underway. The results are here, and we're going to have this weekend's results predicted for you coming up next year on First Touch. I'm your host, Tal Levine, along with Nico Beef Sauce. Don't move. We're coming right back.
You hear that? That's the sound of uncertainty lurking under your hood. You know the feeling. I know I do. That sudden sinking sensation when you see a check engine light or your car unexpectedly breaks down and you're faced with sky-high repair bills. It's time to shield against unexpected repairs with CarShield. CarShield is America's most trusted auto protection company and has an A rating with the Better Business Bureau. Don't let the fear of a breakdown keep you up at night. Trust the Shield, CarShield, and say goodbye to terrifying repair bills and hello to peace of mind. Your plan also comes with 24/7 roadside assistance, courtesy towing, rental car options, and so much more. Don't wait till it's too late. Call CarShield now before a breakdown. Protect your wallet. Protect your car with CarShield. Get our best protection ever. Call now. You'll thank me later. 800-247-6135. 800-247-6135. That's 800-247-6135.
Every champion has a team behind them. And for thousands of families without insurance, Christ Clinic is that team. At Christ Clinic in Katy, Texas, they provide high-quality, faith-based health care to people who can't afford it, because everyone deserves a shot at health, no matter their income or insurance status. Their doctors, volunteers, their mission, rooted in compassion, their impact, over 10,000 patient visits every year and growing. But they can't do it without help from fans like you. If you ever cheered for a comeback story, this is your chance to be a part of one. Donate today at ChristClinicKaty.org and help them keep the doors open for those who need it most. One gift can be the difference between surviving and thriving. Christ Clinic in Katy, where health meets hope and faith goes to work. That's Christ Clinic Katy, spelled KATY.org. Team up with them today.
My fellow Americans, let the message ring out that from this day forward, when you buy American, you buy the best. Handcrafted, something premium, something pure. For this is the very essence of what our servicemen and women gave their lives to protect, and by God, we shall not allow their sacrifice to be forgotten. It's time to show the world just how great American can be. And we will not wait for tomorrow to come. We will stand here, this moment, together, and we will start today. Celebrate responsibly.
Welcome back to First Touch here on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, presented by Sports Over Net America. I'm your host, Todd Levine, along with Nico Bisos. Nico, we alluded to it, but again, the Premier League season is here, and what a way to start it. Liverpool 4, Bournemouth 2. The game, Ekitike opened it up before halftime with a great goal, very solid finish. Kind of got lucky with a little bit of a bounce. McAllister assisted it. Goes 1-0 at halftime. I had Liverpool first half. I remember you taking that all last year. More value, that bet hit, which was great. Right out of halftime, Gakpo scores a beautiful goal, assisted by Ekitike as well. I mean, he just had a phenomenal game. It was looking like it was all Liverpool until it wasn't. Semenyo scored in the 64th, and then in the 72nd, I mean, pretty much a full field run and finished it off. And all of a sudden, it's 2-0, and very quickly it's 2-2, and Anfield gets a little quiet. Vertz comes off, and Chiesa comes on to score what would be the game winner. Just a fantastic, it was a very dangerous, solid assist that went in. Bournemouth couldn't clear it, fell to Chiesa, volleys it in. The place went nuts. I got chills up and down my body. The celebration was just a classic, running, knee slide, crowds going absolutely bonkers. And then in the 94th, Endo clears the ball. Bournemouth defenders fall asleep. Salah, out of nowhere, I mean, sprints fully across the field to get it, has a ton of options, cuts in with his right, puts it in the bottom corner, 4-2 Liverpool. And it's interesting because the two goals that Bournemouth scored came right off of Frimpong and Kirkez coming off the field. As soon as they came off, two goals go in. Is that directly to blame? I don't know. It's tough to say. But nonetheless, Liverpool skate by Bournemouth. Bournemouth look like they're going to be very similar to who they were last year. They're your team with a very strong identity. I mean, they lost a lot of their defenders, but which it will probably be a concern, but they're still organized well and they can score. But nonetheless, Nico, your thoughts on this game as a whole?
Listen, I'm going to say that I'm very happy with the win. I will say that there's a lot of things to touch up on this game. First of all, the VAR controversy in the first half was absolutely insane to me. Etiquette is about to go get the ball and face the keeper of Bournemouth in the middle of the field, and the Bournemouth defender just nicks it with his finger, and VAR says that it looked like a possible goal opportunity, but not an obvious and clear one, which I think is absolutely insane. For anybody that has watched
The semantics of the VAR is insane,
The semantics of VAR is absolutely insane. And then, you know, you described it perfectly. I mean, the game was up and down the field. In the first half, we saw Liverpool a little bit sloppy on the ball, and Bournemouth was able to create a lot of their errors. When Bournemouth was able to kind of get the ball on their foot, on their feet, we saw their quality. As you said earlier, they lost two of their defenders from the past year, but they're still Iraola's team. They're a team that plays for their coach, very well disciplined on the field. And Liverpool, although they've brought all this talent together, they still have to find a way to make it stick, right? Because it's still 11 versus 11. You're still going to have to put the ball in the right places at the right time with the runs being made. And we saw them struggle a little bit today. The second goal, for example, Szoboszlai is trying to play a pass to Salah or vice versa. I don't remember. But
yeah, it was vice versa.
It's just poorly placed. And then Bournemouth gets a clear goal chance opportunity, which Semenyo turns into a beautiful goal. I gotta say, this game gave me absolute chills because I feel like in Anfield, nobody can be safe until that final whistle is blown.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely. I mean, what do you make? Let's start with a couple talking points here. Ekitike, I mean, he looks, and I said it last week when they during the Community Shield, we were talking about it. I mean, he looks to be the guy. He looks to be worth every bit of the $85 million they spent on him. Some of the flicks that he had, just the way that he moves, he's quick, he's decisive. He looks to be a sure out-and-out, week-in, week-out starter and big-game player for them, no?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Etiquette is a player that played in Frankfurt for whoever doesn't know, and he was Marmoush's partner. So what does that tell me is that he's used to playing off of another player, and he's used to being a team player. He's not used to being by himself, and that fits the Liverpool plan perfectly. He has Mo Salah, he has Cody Gakpo, he has Florian Wirtz. He has plenty of guys around him that can finish and pass the ball. He's very dynamic, and I think that he's going to be a scary partner if Alexander Isak makes the move to Liverpool this summer.
Do you think if that happens, and it's looking more and more likely now, I mean, it's very publicly been stated that he will not play for Newcastle ever again and that it's only Liverpool that he wants, and now obviously being rumored that all this is coming out, Liverpool will be bidding again. Is he just going to go straight out left? That's just the game plan here?
I did see that today, you know, Florian Wirtz started at the number 10, which is usually where Szoboszlai starts, and then Szoboszlai had to drop, pretty much playing next to McAllister. He's an offensive midfielder anyway. It's going to be a tough puzzle to fix because Etiquette has had two goals in his first official games for Liverpool, and Isak is not going to come and play on the bench. So no. I'm pretty sure there's already those discussions where Etiquette is preparing to play left wing. I think Cody Gakpo would be very upset being in the team already for a couple of years and getting kind of snubbed. But I think Etiquette ultimately linking up with Isak is the goal.
Now, what do you make of, let's talk about Wirtz's debut for Liverpool at Anfield. What are your thoughts?
Not impressive because I did see him kind of like trying to do too much with the ball. He's usually very team-oriented. He loves to pass it. He loves to play through passes. It's going to take some time. It's going to take some time for him to get the nerves off, and it's going to take some time for him to put those passes together. I wasn't, you know, extremely happy because obviously he wasn't really like involved in the game on those crucial moments.
Chiesa had a higher match rating than him, and it was only on the pitch for about 10 minutes. And obviously the goal is what juices that up. But, you know, I feel like he was a little MIA, you know, you weren't hearing his name every couple seconds where he's on the ball moving around. He kind of was just quietly doing his thing. And of course, obviously I think that there is some sort of time that for everybody, even if, you know, I don't care that Ekitike scored and assisted today, I still think there's some level of acclimation that needs to happen when you make a move to the Premier League. But we talked about it at the beginning of the season, it's going to be the expectations are as high as they can go. I mean, he is, you know, the fee that was paid for him means he has the 7 shirt at Anfield. Like, it doesn't really get much bigger than that. The only other thing that can be, in my opinion, compared to is being a $100 million man at Man United.
And you
see what that pressure does to certain players. I mean, are you in any way, shape, or form worried about the pressure that will be put on him?
No, I'm not. And I'll tell you why. Because, like, playing the number 10 in a team has a much longer process to fit in than playing number 9. And if you understand that, then God bless.
Now, you mentioned Szoboszlai and how he was playing. I mean, when Gravenbeck is back, he was suspended for this game. I'm almost certain that he'll be playing in that role because he's more of a true six. So you have to think that he'll be delegated to the bench with Wirtz being the number one guy in that number 10 role no matter what, no? I mean, there's no chance that Slobislav stays playing in that position when Gravenbeck is back, and he's certainly not going to be starting over Verts, no?
I agree with you. Yeah, I think that Slobosla drops on the bench, and I also think that Gravenberch is a player that missed from that Liverpool midfield this game specifically, because the transition between offense and defense was terrible, because Slobosla can play great on the ball, but he can't defend like Gravenberch can.
Now let's discuss this. Are you concerned at all for the vulnerability that Liverpool's expressed defensively in the Community Shield match and obviously this opening game as well? They conceded 2 goals to Palace. They conceded 2 goals to Bournemouth as well. Obviously, when you have the firepower that you do and you can score 4, that's great. But, you know, are they going to continue to make more moves defensively? Do they need to do that? Where are you identifying the issue with them defensively right now?
I think that their biggest issue on defense is protecting the ball better, not making silly mistakes on offense that cause that transition to happen. And I also think that, you know, players like Kerkez and Frimpong, the more the time passes, they're going to be more fitted into the defensive style that they have, because they got exposed today a couple of times.
Yeah, I Frimpong had a pretty bad one, and there was could have been a foul right outside the box. Ball got whipped in, advantage got played, and it kind of ended up amounting to nothing. But yeah, I agree. I think that's any defensive unit. When new guys are in, you know, 2 out of the 4 brand new in terms of Liverpool, one of them has never played in the Premier League before. Now, with that being said, the second goal, I think Konate just didn't do enough to stop the ball, which is ultimately, you know, the number one priority. But nonetheless, it's a great game. It's a great win for Liverpool. They stay at the top of the Premier League table, which, you know, it feels like it's now been that way for the better part of a year. yes. Bournemouth to the bottom, -2 goal difference. This is my favorite part. You look at it, Bournemouth 20th, relegation zone. But nonetheless, I mean, we have so much to go through on this episode of First Touch. Next up, coming up right after this break, we're going to go right into the Saturday slate for you guys here and give you our predictions and thoughts on each game. I'm your host, Tyler Levine, along with Nico Beef Sauce. We are coming right back after this break.
There's a new way to travel, and it's one of the oldest forms of transportation. Travel by train. Yes, consider traveling around the United States on Amtrak. Traveling by train is a lot less of a headache than taking a plane, and you'd be surprised how many places you can go on an Amtrak, and there's no passports or IDs needed. Find out how to get where you're going as soon as tomorrow by train. Call the Amtrak Travel Hotline right now. We'll book your trip and email your tickets within minutes. Skip the drive to the airport and skip the lines. Call right now to book your Amtrak reservations. We service most of the United States.
All aboard!
Do something new. Travel by Amtrak today.
800-262-3903. 800-262-3903. 800-262-3903. That's 800-262-3903.
Do you need to sell your home? If you've sold a home before, you remember how stressful and expensive it was. Sold.com is here to help you sell your home for the most money and with the least amount of stress. There are new ways to sell your home that you've never heard of before. Did you know there are companies who will offer you cash for your home? Did you know you could trade in your home for a new one? Did you know there are realtors who will sell your home for a flat fee instead of an expensive commission? It's true. Sold.com services are free. So if you're looking to sell, make this free phone call right now and learn how your next home sale can be faster and easier than you ever thought possible. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 800-251-7816. 800-251-7816. 800-251-7816. That's 800-251-7816.
Are you over the age of 50? Want peace of mind and financial security for your family? Here's an important message to you from Senior Care USA. The average funeral now costs over $10,000. That leaves your loved ones the burden of paying your debts and funeral costs. Our plans start as low as $1 per day and will pay your family up to $30,000 to help pay for your funeral and other expenses. There are no medical exams, your rates will never increase, and your plan cannot be canceled, regardless regardless of your medical conditions, as long as you make your premium payments. Get up to $30,000 in final expense insurance. Call now for free information. Just answer a few simple questions and get approved right over the phone in just a few minutes. Call right now.
Call 800-399-6879. 800-399-6879. 800-399-6879. That's 800-399-6879.
Well, welcome back to First Touch here on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. As always, we are presented by Sports Overnet America. I'm your host, Tyler Levine, along with Nico Beef Sauce. Nico, let's get into it, baby. We have some predictions for the Saturday slate. Things kick off 7:30 a.m. Aston Villa at home versus Newcastle. Emi Martinez out from suspension from the red card on the last day of the season last year against Manchester United, that weird red card for those who remember, so he will not be starting. I don't know how much that sways this for you, but Villa are still the favorites at plus 130, the draw is plus 260, Newcastle plus 200, over 2.5, minus 168, under 2.5, plus 129. Where do you go with this one? I mean, both teams are missing. Villa's missing Martinez, and they also just sold, Ramsey.
Ramsey.
So they sold Ramsey to Newcastle. Newcastle obviously will not have Isak up front. How does Newcastle line up? I mean, what do you? For me, I'm feeling the draw. I just think that both teams are kind of on a level playing field, missing some of their main guys. There's a lot of turmoil in Newcastle. Not having your starting goalkeeper is difficult for Villa. They lost some guys as well. So where do you go with this one?
Do you like the draw and the under?
I don't know. I'm probably going to stay away from the total here, just because
I don't know.
I'd like to think that it goes over, just being that over 2.5 minus 168. I think that that's obviously pretty steep. And obviously both teams, no matter what, like they still do have guys who can score goals. Yeah. But I mean, I'm going to pull up the predicted lineup.
The fact that Anthony Gordon will start as a center forward to Newcastle tells me that Newcastle has very little chances of winning this game unless Anthony Gordon can produce. Because, like, Anthony Gordon is a great winger, but, you know, to play at number nine between two center backs that are not, like, easy to play against anyway, two big bodies and two experienced guys, how are you going to create those issues? If I was going to lean towards anything in this game, would be a Villa money line because I feel like they're playing at home.
Yeah. Honestly, I'm looking at it. I don't know why. I had Rodgers confused with Ramsey for some reason. You look at this. I mean, Ollie Watkins up front, Malin on the wing, who's going to be getting a lot more playing time now that some of these other guys are gone. Rodgers up in the middle in that number 10 role. John McGinn, who, you know, it is what it is. Like, a guy's a workhorse. He's been in the league forever, it feels like. Kamara and Tielemans in the middle. I mean, Konsa and Torres, Mattinson and Cash, you know, that back line has played a lot of games in the Premier League. They are at home, obviously, as well. And yeah, I mean, I think that until Newcastle have their number nine sorted out, I mean, how many times have we seen teams that try and play without a true number nine, especially a team like Newcastle was so reliant on their number nine last year?
Absolutely.
That the more that we talk about this, the more I lean towards Aston Villa money lines. I'm probably going to be locking that in. Moving on.
I like it.
Brighton at home versus Fulham. Brighton minus 110, draw plus 260, Fulham plus 295, over 2.5, minus 140, under 2.5, plus 110. Where do you go with this one, Nico?
Listen, in this game specifically, I feel like the draw is the most fair result. Over 2.5, I like a lot. I know that Brighton lost João Pedro, which was probably their best player last season, let's face it. But I feel like the possibility of three goals being scored in this game is really high. Minus 140 seems beautiful in terms of odds. If I will say something about Fulham, they're trying to get this guy from Shakhtar Donetsk, this Brazilian dude, to enhance their offense. If they're able to do that, they can change the trajectory of their season. But until they get that done, I think that team is missing the special something.
I lean towards Brighton here. I think that, yes, they lost João Pedro, but Ruder he's had a great season last year as well. He's a dangerous player. He had a great FIFA card in FC 25. Matoma's obviously incredibly dangerous. Minte is dangerous. Baliba will be starting. Rumors are that he's not going anywhere this year, that the price tag would have to be astronomically higher than it makes sense for really anyone to pay right now, regardless of how good he is and how promising he is. And their back line looks, you know, it's solid. They're at home. I do like the over 2.5 as well. I think that they score at least two, and I trust Fulham to maybe get one. But Brighton's a team that could score three. Their biggest issue last season was blowing leads. So the other side of this is it could be 2-0 and 2-2 really quick, much like we saw today. But I will lean towards Brighton on the money line, and I do like the over 2.5 for sure. Sunderland back in the Premier League. The Black Cats at home versus West Ham. West Ham, our favorites, plus 125. The draw is plus 240. Sunderland, plus 220. Over 2.5, minus 105. Under 2.5, minus 118. This one's interesting. I find it interesting that Fulham are a plus money favorite here. Now, obviously, when you look on paper, Fulham's roster is a significantly stronger one. They're going to be playing a 3-5-2, it looks like. Bowen and Fulkrug up top. We didn't see much of Fulkrug last year at all. And that was someone that last season I remember saying after the Euros, I thought that was going to be a great addition. Let's see if his sophomore season is significantly better than his freshman one. With that being said, I don't know. This kind of smells like a 0-0-1-1 draw for me, to be honest. I think Sunderland's fans back in the Premier League, they have a big stadium, a dedicated fan base. It's going to be loud. It's going to be crazy. They had their fair share of crazy games in that stadium last season. We all remember the playoff games in the championship. Granit Xhaka's in the side, a Premier League experienced player who will most likely be the guy that all of these young players lean on for advice and guidance. And I think that can help them at least get a point in this fixture. I do like the under 2.5 as well. I do not expect a lot of goals in this game.
I agree with everything that you just said. I will mention that Kudus is gone by from West Ham, which was a very big player for them. They signed him from Bundesliga, and they sold him to Tottenham, I believe.
Yeah.
But anyway, what I was going to say is I love West Ham plus 125 because I went and looked at the six last games that Sunderland has played. Even though they're friendly, they have one win and five losses. So I know the friendly games can be a little bit weird in terms of, like, you know, what they look like, and the coach kind of like playing different first 11s and experimenting. But West Ham is much more quality on the field, is much more high, and also like they had a terrible season last season, so I don't see why they wouldn't go to Sunderland and just get a win to start their season off right.
Yeah, I could see that as well. I definitely can. Speaking of new teams up in the Premier League, Tottenham at home versus Burnley. Tottenham minus 250, draw plus 380, Burnley plus 700, over 2.5, minus 144, under 2.5, plus 110. Obviously, the Super Cup final tragedy, Tottenham up 2-0 against PSG. They blow the lead and lose it. Thomas Frank could have gotten his first trophy as a Tottenham manager. It does not happen, but they've made pretty solid signings. I like the way that this lineup looks against the Burnley. I mean, I can't find any way to think that Tottenham don't win this game. Now the question is minus 252 seep for that? Is there an edge on, you know, a minus a half goal or, you know, a first half play? I don't know. I do like the over 2.5 at minus 144. Burnley had a great goal, a great defensive record last year with their keeper who was sold to Man City. So it's a new goalkeeper in a new league. I think it's just a different level of play, and I think Tottenham are going to be feeling very good. I think their fan base is finally in a good place mentally. There's not this, you know, this over looming burden of winning a trophy. That pressure is now gone, and I think it's going to free them up a lot. And more importantly, they're healthy, which was the big issue last year. I mean, what we're looking at here is the predicted starting 11 is what their ideal starting 11 would be outside of James Maddison being out for probably the entirety of the season. So, I mean, do you think there's any way that Tottenham don't win this game?
I don't think so. I also believe that, you know, the best way to come back off of a bad result in soccer is to win your very next game and win it in a beautiful fashion. They will be at home. You know what? I'm itching to bet on this game, but I don't think I'm going to pull the trigger on it. I think it's ridiculous that the over 2.5 was at minus 135. Because, like, honestly, you know, Tottenham is not going to wait, you know, for the first half to go by in order to attack. And if they get a goal early and get Burnley to kind of come out of their box, this game will open up. I feel like the odds for it is kind of what kind of engages me with it. But I don't know.
They scored two set-piece goals against PSG, who were widely regarded as the best team in the world. Both center backs, Vanderbilt and Romero, scored. I'd be interested to see what the line on one of them scoring is. I think a little small little bet on that. I also like Brennan Johnson to score a goal. He had a great season last year. He's one of their bright spots. And I agree with what you said about the over, though. I think that they had just had their worst season ever. They're going to want to come out here and score goals and put a dominating performance out there. And more importantly, I'm sure they'll have some sort of ceremony for the Europa League victory they had. So I think vibes are going to be incredibly high. It's going to be loud there. And I expect them to take care of business without much issues, to be honest. Now, Wolves at home versus Man City closes the Saturday slate out. City's a minus 220 favorite. Draw plus 380. Where'd this line go? Wolves are a big underdog. I'll find it if you give me a second. Plus 550.
Wolves are plus 550. Yeah.
Over 2.5, minus 160. Under 2.5, plus 125. One thing I really like here, I know it's expensive, is the over. City last year were defensively messy. Now let's see what happens. They have Altnawari, Diaz, Akanji, Nunez, Guardiol. So they have good defenders. Ederson is out of the squad, though, which we're going to talk about why in the transfer section of the show. But real quick, Nico, what do you like in this game?
I love the minus 225 for City, and I also love the first half win for City. That's almost even money.
Okay, that's a good one that I'm going to get on as well. But, man, it feels good to talk about games and predict stuff. I'm going to be launching bets all weekend. Nonetheless, up next on First Touch, we're going to go through the Sunday slate of Week 1. We'll throw the Monday game mix in there as well before we get into transfer talk if we have time. Do not move. First Touch rolls on here with your hosts, Tyler Mina and Nico Beef Sauce. We're coming right back. Don't move.
If you didn't think skipping breakfast was a big deal, you'd be right. Before. But now, Wendy's has Buck Biscuits. We're talking sausage, egg, and cheese biscuit, bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit, or even the honey buddy chicken biscuit. For just a buck each. Seriously, you can get all three if you want. They're just a buck. So you'll never skip breakfast again. If you're smart. Breakfast for a buck? Gotta be Wendy's.
Limited time only. Price and participation may vary. Limit 5 qualifying items per transaction. Not valid in the combo while supplies last.
My fellow Americans, let the message ring out that from this day forward, when you buy American, you buy the best. Handcrafted. Something premium. Something pure. For this is the very essence of what our servicemen and women gave their lives to protect, and by God, we shall not allow their sacrifice to be forgotten. It's time to show the world just how great American can be. And we will not wait for tomorrow to come. We will stand here, this moment, together, and we will start today. Don't ever forget how great it is to be American. America we need right now. America. Celebrate responsibly.
Every champion has a team behind them. And for thousands of families without insurance, Christ Clinic is that team. At Christ Clinic in Katy, Texas, they provide high-quality, faith-based health care to people who can't afford it. Because everyone deserves a shot at health, no matter their income or insurance status. Their doctors, volunteers, their mission, rooted in compassion, their impact, over 10,000 patient visits every year and growing. But they can't do it without help from fans like you. If you ever cheered for a comeback story, this is your chance to be a part of one. Donate today at ChristClinicKaty.org and help them keep the doors open for those who need it most. One gift can be the difference between surviving and thriving. Christ Clinic in Katy, where health meets hope and faith goes to work. That's Christ Clinic Katy, spelled KATY.org. Team up with them today.
Have you been daydreaming about losing weight for years? Do you just yo-yo back and forth? At Innovative Wellness Center, we have a holistic weight loss program that allows you to lose up to 20 pounds in 30 days. People are losing weight like crazy and keeping it off. It can be done from anywhere in the United States. Go to our website at www.innovativewellness.center and schedule your complimentary consultation today.
Welcome back to First Touch here with your hosts, Tyler Levine and my man, Nico Beef Sauce. Nico, let's get into this Sunday slate. It is juicy. I'll leave it at that. Chelsea home versus Crystal Palace. Chelsea minus 160, draw plus 310, Palace plus 400. Over 2.5, minus 161, under 2.5, plus 125. Your thoughts?
Ah, man, listen, Crystal Palace can be a pain to get rid of, especially when they play away from home. They have this tight defensive play, which you absolutely love. I think that minus 160 is not juicy enough for me to bet the over. I will go with Chelsea money line because ultimately I believe that they get the job done in front of their fans. I know that the last game they played was, you know, the final in United States of America, winning the Club World Cup. So I feel like they're going to come in, start the season off right in front of their crowd, and minus 155, baby.
Yeah, I like the line on the money line. It's a little scary just because of how Palace played defensively, but I think that if this was flipped and Palace were home, I'd be more prone to going towards a draw, maybe even an under. But I'll be riding with Chelsea here. I think they take care of business as well. I really like the signings that they made. I think João Pedro is going to have a fantastic season. They have Liam Delap as well. I mean, just a huge improvement from. I mean, they have two guys that you can rely on to score goals. And then more importantly, are Premier League proven. And it's not Nicholas Jackson. So he will not be playing, which means it makes me a lot more confident. And I think that the addition of those guys is going to help Cole Palmer significantly as well, not have the burden that he's had to carry for the last couple seasons. Nottingham Forest versus Brentford. Forest plus 115, the draw plus 235, Brentford plus 250, over 2.5 plus 102, under 2.5 minus 126. You know, I'll tell you this. I was worried about Forrest. I don't know why. I think I had forgot that Gibbs White, that transfer didn't happen. They really didn't lose much, and they had such a great season. I think where I will start to get more worried for Forrest is when the European games start, because they will be in the Europa League this season. So I think that those additional games can be a lot, especially for guys that aren't used to that. So I'm looking at this, and I love the plus 115. I mean, where are you at with this one?
I love it, and I will add that, you know, Brentford lost their best player to United, and Mbeumo. Yep. I mean,
Wissa is not playing in this game. He's out of the squad as of right now because he's rumored to be going to Newcastle as well.
Yeah, so significantly weaker Brentford side here, away from home. Also,
new manager.
Didn't Brentford beat Forest at home, one of those must-win games for them to make?
I believe so, yeah. There was some sort of blunder.
Revenge game coming. So Forest money line plus 115 here. And, you know, they lost to Langa last season, but Ndoye, the guy that they signed, is a great winger. He's going to start tomorrow. And I really like Ndoye anytime scorer in this game because I feel like he's going to come in and try to prove something.
Love it. All right. My mental health. I mean, I'm not putting much stock in this one. United are home versus Arsenal. Arsenal are minus 118 favorites. The draw is plus 270. United are plus 310. Over 2.5 is minus 129. Under 2.5 plus 101. I expect Cunha and Mbeumo to be starting. Sesko, I don't know yet. I also don't believe that Hoyland will play because he's being linked to all these different loans. I think Xerxes will start up top, maybe Cunha up top with Mbeumo and Bruno in behind him. I don't really know how we're going to line up. Regardless, I still just think that Arsenal are a significantly better team that are much further along in their journey. With that being said, I'm not convinced by Madueke or Martinelli at left wing. Gyökeres is still new. If he doesn't start and Havertz starts, I would feel more comfortable saying that I could see a scenario where there's a draw. If he starts, Gyökeres, I don't know. I mean, I think I would expect him to score, but you never know. I mean, guys come to the Premier League and it could take them a little while to really get things rocking and rolling. He's a very different type of striker than Arsenal have had for I don't even know how long. So, you know, there is the side of it where I could see some value in a draw or in United money line just because the United team is all players who have played in the Premier League. And the Arsenal side, having your striker new how good is that chemistry? How good can they read each other in terms of service into the box? But I do like the over 2.5 at minus 129. I do think that there's going to be a lot of goals in this game. I think it's at least 3. I'd probably lean more towards a 2-1 Arsenal. But if it is a draw or it is a United win, I think it does go under.
I love the over 2.5 in this game. I also looked at the possible lineups, and the predicted lineup is not with Onana in it. I would like to let you know. And also,
that would be amazing.
Bagindir, the backup goalkeeper, is set to start in projected lineups as of right now. Listen, I love the over in this game. I completely disagree with you in terms of like not starting Sesko in this game. Like, I would put him in there eyes closed.
I think we should start him. I don't know if he's going to, though. I personally, I'm saying throw him in there. I don't care if he's had one 100%. Training session. He should be starting, no doubt, in my mind.
100%. Because he's coming off of a season where he played fully, and then he was with Leipzig all throughout preseason. So he's in shape. Now, you know, he's going to go in there and not really know how to link up with his teammates, but I don't think that starting Cunha up top gives United an edge
against the defense.
Against a defense that is proven to be good. Like, Arsenal has a good defense. So I do see Amorim kind of going for this one because, like, the schedule is looking tough, and playing against Arsenal at home, you get a win against them. The whole locker room, the vibes go up, and the fans are loving it. I don't see an under game here.
Yeah, I do see a path where United could win this game. I mean, we don't know. I mean, think about it. Last year, this exact fixture at Old Trafford ended in a 1-1 draw. And this was the worst United team that we've ever seen in our lives. For those who remember, Bruno Fernandes scored the free kick before halftime. Declan Rice equalized late on in the 74th, and it ended 1-1. So that gives me hope. I do think that Old Trafford on game week one is probably up there with the most difficult places to play. I think that Arsenal will have a pressure on them through the entirety of the season to perform every single game. And again, that can be, I mean, at least from my perspective, there's no real expectation for United. It's just it has to be better than last season. I think that a top 7 but like, we're not looking to win the league. I mean, of course we want to, but the reality is that that's not something that's going to happen. So
I agree. And also Tyler, like, you know, Premier League doesn't get any easier, and United has nothing else to play for. So you got to put 100% effort in every single game to try to win. And although United is not doing so great, I don't think that the expectations are any lower. I completely agree with you.
Yeah, so it's a tricky one. I can't with confidence say that I love Arsenal at minus 118. Like, this isn't because, I mean, it's partially because we just don't know. Like, we have no idea what we're going to see. We could see a completely different version of United. They had a pretty solid preseason, and it's just it's a whole new attack. So let's see how that looks. Let's see what defensively, how we're lined up. What the center back partnerships are looking like, who's in those wing back positions, who's in the goal. I think that's obviously a huge thing. I would love it if Onana was not playing. I think that that would give us an edge. And I think that it would probably move the odds a little bit as well in United's favor, make them close, you know, not plus 310, maybe below plus 290, plus 275, something like that. But I think that this is probably safe to say the game of the week for week one. I mean, it has to be the highest profile game, the two biggest clubs. Easily facing off without a doubt. So, and it's the finale on Sunday. Obviously, we have the Monday game as well. But 11:30 Sunday at Old Trafford. I mean, it's as good as it gets. I could not possibly be more excited to watch this game. My Cunha jersey just hit. I got an Mbeumo jersey on the way as well. So I'm excited and I'm happy with the business we've done this summer. Nonetheless, and we'll get into the transfers and stuff after this one real quick as well. Leeds versus Everton, the Monday game. Leeds are actually favorites in this game, brand new in the Premier League, but at home, plus 138 favorites. Everton plus 205, draw plus 230, over 2.5 plus 100, under 2.5 minus 129. What do you think of this, the fact that newly promoted Leeds are favorite at home against Everton?
I get to see a little bit of Everton on the preseason games, and they look decent. But I have to side with Leeds because on my final table prediction, I have Leeds not being in trouble, and they have to win games like this one, huh?
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to stay up, you have to at least get points here. I personally like the draw here. I think that Everton are a solid team with more Premier League experience, obviously, but Leeds is a very hard place to play. A lot of people might not remember that.
For those who are either new to watching or, you know, haven't really seen a game that gets played at Leeds in their house, it's crazy. I mean, they are a team with rich Premier League history. A lot, you know, they have a richer history than a lot of the teams that are in the league from, you know, the 90s or early 2000s. So I expect them. I don't think anyone's going to just like walk over them at all throughout the season. I think there will be games where they get wrecked. But, I mean, they're going to, in my opinion, be a feisty team, much like we've seen out of teams like Wolves over the last couple seasons, where on their day they can get a point out of anyone. When they're not on, they will lose 5-0. But against a team like Everton, it's not like Everton's some powerhouse. You know what I mean? It's not like
Leeds
versus Liverpool. I don't see it as unrealistic that they could even win this game. But if I'm putting money on it, I'm going to lean towards the draw because I can't see them having that much of an edge. Nonetheless, let's wrap up with some transfer stuff here. So let's start with United. Baliba is not going to be happening. They reached out to Brighton officially today. The talks obviously did not go well. They pretty much said, like, look, if you threw a bid out there that we couldn't refuse, which is 110, 15, 20 million, the deal goes through. We can't spend that money. I think that he would be very overvalued at that number as well, as good of a player as I think he is. And that, for me, will be the number one transfer saga of the Premier League next season. Maybe a January move. I don't know. It also, a lot of this comes down to the player and how hard they push. Like, if they say, hey, I'm not going to play, I want to go to United, then maybe something could happen in January or next summer. But again, now the question comes, if we wait till next summer, do we have European football? Do we not? And then the other name that has been floated around as to definitely being on the move is Donnarumma. He is out of PSG, out of the project, was dropped from the squad with the game against Tottenham. He was trying to renegotiate his contract, which only has a year left on it. PSG, for whatever reason, say no to that, which this is a massive fumble. And you saw the mistake their new keeper made against Tottenham. It was a Onana-level mistake, which is as bad as it gets. And you got to think that Donnarumma's sitting on his couch, with, you know, shaking his head. Like, I mean, what were they thinking? I don't know what they were thinking. They wouldn't have won anything last year without him. He was the reason they won the Champions League, and he's the best shot stopper in the world for me. Pay him what he wants. Now, I was all excited about United being in on him, thinking that really the only competition that we would have is Chelsea, who aren't usually happy with Sanchez. He's not the best. And then immediately, City get linked to him, and Ederson's dropped from the squad this week. And I mean, I hate to say it, as I think that United could pull people away from Chelsea or Newcastle or Villa or Tottenham or people like this with Champions League football. But pulling someone away from City is a big ask. I mean, they have a great team with one of the most legendary coaches, the second most legendary coach in history, in my opinion, in Pep. And they win. So it's tough to rationalize thinking, especially with the reports coming out the way they are, which is personal terms will not be an issue, and it's all down to the clubs coming up with a fee. Man City allegedly, or PSG asked for 50. City have pretty much, you know, balked at that and said it, where there's no chance. He has a year left on his contract. That's just the opening figure that's being floated. But I mean, if he were to go to United, it would have to be him saying, "I want to go to United, and I don't want to go to City," and that's the only way this deal happens now, in my opinion, which is. It's devastating.
Is Pep going to sign a keeper that cannot play with his feet for the first time ever?
I don't know. I mean, at what point do we say, okay, yeah, playing with your feet is important, but what's the ultimate goal of the goalkeeper? It's to stop goals from going in, which means save the shots. And we've established that we both believe he's the best shot stopper that there is. So
100%.
How would they not take him? Now, the big question is, they, from my understanding, they have to do something with Ederson. It's not a matter of, you know, whether they keep Ederson as a backup or not. I think that financially, you know, there's something that has to get done there. But we'll wrap this up with a two-minute drill. We'll continue on with the Donnarumma drama and conversation here on First Such. So do not move. We're coming right back.
Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. That's 800-915-9654.
Special alert for consumers struggling to pay taxes. There are new tax regulations, not published yet. We have the inside track on your new tax savings. These programs are designed to help struggling taxpayers like you. The COVID relief programs are gone, but there are new programs to help struggling taxpayers. And we have the inside track. Call now, and we'll take you through these new programs. These taxpayer savings programs have never been available until now. Get out of tax trouble now. It doesn't take weeks. It can happen in one phone call. Call now and get the inside track to get rid of your tax problems.
Call the tax helpline now. 800-949-0039. 800-949-0039. 800-949-0039. That's 800-949-0039.
Imagine combining the exciting investment opportunity of cryptocurrencies with the power of artificial intelligence to maximize your IRA, 401k, or other investment funds. Listen, if you're looking for ways to accelerate your retirement growth, Block Trust IRA has market-leading strategies and solutions for all levels of investors, from $1,000 to millions. And they partner with Bitcoin Magazine's number one crypto trading fund in the world to maximize your returns. Plus, their team of IRA specialists is here to help you roll over your IRA or qualified retirement account to the new world of cryptocurrency investments. So make this free call right now to set up your account and learn more.
800-475-6824. 800-475-6824. 800-475-6824. That's 800-475-6824.
Welcome back to First Touch here on the Sports Spotline Broadcast Network, presented by Sports Overnet America. Time for the 2-minute drill here with your hosts, Todd Levine and Nico Bisa. So, Nico, let's continue on with the Donnarumma conversation. Does he end up a City player? Is that
I think well, you said it perfectly. So hard to deny Manchester City, Pep Guardiola, Champions League football, and the team that with Donnarumma on their goalposts, they're gonna go for the league, undoubtedly. Can United present him with something more juicy in terms of money and maybe the view that, like, he's going to be the number one for the next 5-6 years because Pep is going to retire soon? I don't know, man. I hope it for you.
Now, let's not – I guess it's still to be determined because there still could be things that happen. But in your opinion, who won the transfer window for the Premier League teams? Who made the biggest advancement from where they were to where they are now?
Easily Liverpool for me. Easily Liverpool. I mean, they added players with tons of quality, youth, and, you know, the potential when that team comes together, I mean, is ridiculous.
And are you sold that Isak to Liverpool is a done deal? Like, it's happening?
What did I say to you last week? I told you, when the bride and the groom want to get married, it doesn't matter what anybody says. They want to get married. The mother-in-law is complaining, which is Newcastle in this case. But the mother-in-law doesn't win in this one, my friend.
Oh, man. Well, look, I could not be more excited to talk about these games next week. Guys, we're going to be doing our first 2 hours next week, so we're not sure if it's going to be live yet or if we record, but we will make sure that it's broken down for you guys, both on social media and also live on air next Friday, no matter what. We'll be here next Friday, 5 Eastern, to look ahead at week 2 slate, recap week 1. Baby, we are rocking and rolling. The Premier League is back. World football is back, and we will be discussing it all over the next 38 weeks of the season and beyond that as well. So
Thank you so much, as always. I'm your host, Todd Levine, along with Nico Beefsauce, signing off. We'll see you guys next Friday at 5.
See ya.